Viktor Frankl said, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms. To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way." This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson. Stay tuned for the next hour as Sue explores the human psyche, what makes us tick, and how to live better, more fulfilled, and more meaningful lives. Only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program on 101.9 Chai FM. And today, my guest from Israel is Peter Bailey. And Peter is my go-to guy for any military information that I need on Israel or around the world, any military information. He's a friend. He's been on my program before. You can access our previous podcasts. There was one done in January this year. And there was one in 2025, I think July 2024. Peter's an ex-South African successful businessman with a military background. And he and his wife, Jeannie, made Aliyah in 2013 and to go and join their sons who live in Israel. He's a historian and author of two books, many publications and articles. The two books are really worth reading. Men of Valor, which is the story about the 40 soldiers who were awarded Israel's highest award for bravery. It's totally fascinating. And then Street Names for Africa. Not for Africa, Street Names for Israel. You could probably do Africa too, Peter. My daughter Shira Imranan and I met Peter and his wife Jeannie in 2017. And they have been friends of ours since then. Welcome, Peter, to a very cold Johannesburg today. How is the weather in Ranana?
Hi, Sue. Thank you very much. I'm sitting sweltering in 32 degrees.
I think we're at 5 degrees.
Yeah, I spoke to my sister a little earlier, and she told me it's absolutely the coldest day of the year.
Yeah, no, it really is. Now, Peter, we're going to be talking about museums and monuments and remembrance, and all, you're so involved with all of that. But, you know, I just wanted to say this one quote by Benjamin Franklin, which says, "Teach me and I'll remember. Involve me and I'll learn." Isn't that true? That is very much what the museums and the memorials in Israel are, especially the museums. They're very interactive.
Yeah, absolutely. All the museums here all the modern museums are interactive. The old traditional type museum, when you have to look at artifacts and so on, still exist. But the interactive ones, and of course, you, in particular, this new World War II museum of Jewish soldiers of World War II is totally interactive.
Please tell me a bit more about that one.
Well, that one celebrates the lives of the 1.6 million Jews who fought during World War II. And that number includes the partisans, the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, those that fought in the ghettos, as well as Israel's War of Independence. Is also included in there because a lot of them received their training during the Second World War. So it celebrates those lives, and there's a lot of South Africans there, believe me.
I'm sure. How many South Africans do you happen to
Second
know?
World War, approximately 10 million, 10,000, I beg your pardon.
Good.
South Africans fought during the Second World War in the various theatres.
And Peter, today we wanted to discuss the Cape Corps, the oldest military unit in South Africa. Just tell me a bit of a history about that, because I knew nothing until I started, you sent me some articles, yeah. And I started reading them. So I've been educating myself, but I'd like you to educate me a bit more.
I will try. There's nothing I love better than trying to educate people.
Good.
The Cape Corps was established in 1770-771 by the Dutch authorities in the Cape, who were the colonial government, and it was known as the Free Corps. and it was made up of the Cape Coloured community, which already existed at that time. And it went through numerous iterations, different name changes, some of them not very flattering, some of them very politically incorrect. So I'd rather stay away from them until around about 1883, the British government re-established the Free Corps. Not the Free Corps, they established two fighting platoons. And these two platoons were renamed as the Cape Corps, and so it remained right until it was disbanded by the Democratic government in 1994.
Now, was that a coloured corps, or was it?
It was a coloured corps. Coloureds it was no, Indians? It was. It Only was. Cut. There were some black members, mm-hmm. but it was members of the coloured community. So it was a mix of Muslim and Christian soldiers. And they all cooperated very well together.
Which would be fantastic if it was happening today, wouldn't it be?
Well, it's one of the reasons for my interest in the Cape Corps, that it's such a story of bringing things together. My favourite story of the Cape Corps and the fight during the First World War is receiving a call from Adil Karlsson, who's the grandson of one of the soldiers. So he wrote a book on the Cape Corps. And he said to me, you've got to find a Jew in the Cape Corps. And I explained to him that the Jewish inheritance comes from the mother, not from the father, the religious inheritance. Because he said to me, there's Abrams and there's Isaacs and there's Levi's. It doesn't work. Anyhow, I have a book called The British Jewry Book of Honor, which is probably 6 inches thick. And it lists every South African Jew, every Commonwealth Jew who fought during the First World War. And trawling through this book, I suddenly came upon a name, Joe Saretsky, Cape Corps. And I did a quick check on him, and lo and behold, Joe Saretsky was in the Cape Corps. My friend David Kaplan, who's a cousin of the late Mendel Kaplan, lives not far from Nkosazana. And I phoned him. I said, Dave, have you ever heard of Joe Saretsky? He asked his wife, and she replied, of course I've heard of Joe Saretsky. He's my uncle. Well, was
Good
my uncle.
Heavens. Yeah.
So this has given Dave a whole impetus of interest in my research into the Cape Corps.
I think he wrote about it in his Lay of the Land, Lay of the
Land. Yes, he might well have done so.
And so he was Jewish.
Joe Saretsky was Jewish. He actually ended up living in Johannesburg.
And why did he choose to join the Cape
certain
Corps?
Certain specialities, such as medical sergeants and most non-commissioned officers at that stage, when it was first established, were whites. Coloureds were not allowed to hold any rank. They were only allowed to be riflemen. Only later on were they able to become non-commissioned officers. All the officers had to be white, which was a throwback to the, of course, to the old dispensation in South Africa.
Good heavens. And so what was his role in the Cape Corps then?
From what I can understand, he was a medical sergeant.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Because I read that. We're going to ad break for a moment. Thank you, Craig. Does Kim Wellness Clinic for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks, whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol? Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. It's fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem pharmacist. Better health starts here. We're now going to be listening to a... are we now, Craig? I'm a bit confused. I can't remember.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, that was a short audio clip that you heard from John Matuli from Hope for South Africa, and it was about his solidarity tour in Israel and how he feels that everyone who can go there needs to go there just to see what is the truth about the whole situation. I'm back with Peter Bailey on the Finding Human program. If you would like to contact me, please do so on Telegram 061-895-1019. Peter, you know, I was actually quite amused to just on a different subject, but two events that happened in Israel yesterday. Rolene Marks was talking about a very welcome and a rare sighting in the ocean and the Red Sea. It was whale sharks, a group of whale sharks, and three generations of dolphins, and a monk seal who came to give birth to her pup. The three generations of dolphins were the granny, the mom, and the little children. And of course, the unwelcome one was the flotilla that's supposed to was coming in Greta Thunberg. And so those were the two events on Israeli's coastline. The one was welcome. I see that Greta Thunberg, one of the nicest pictures that I saw, was her accepting a sandwich, which was either pastrami or turkey, I'm not sure, but it was definitely kosher, and accepting that from the IDF. I found that very amusing, actually. So those are the two different events that happened in Israel. But for you, every single day, there are new events happening, and for us following from so far, is incredibly difficult. But we're not actually going to be discussing all of that today. What we're going to be discussing is more about the memorials and the different battles. Now, the Cape Corps that we were talking about, which was the Coloured Corps from South African unit in World War One, fought a battle. Tell me about the Battle of Square Hill. I read about it, but I want to hear from you. And then it went on to say K.H. Jerbate. I'm not sure if that's the right pronunciation, is it?
Yeah, it's, well, K.H. actually, it's an abbreviation for Kerbet, which is a hill. It's an Arabic word for hill. So, but they use K.H. I've no idea why. It bothered me, so I researched it.
Tell me about that battle.
The Cape Corps fell under the command of General Allenby, who was the general officer commanding of the Egyptian Expeditionary Force, which was the name of the essentially Commonwealth Army that was in Palestine during the First World War, fighting against the Turco-Germanic forces, Turkic-German forces. Allenby had taken Jerusalem. The Battle of Gaza was over, thank God, at that stage. I wish the present Battle of Gaza was over already. And they now had to open the route through to Syria, which was the main Turkish Ottoman stronghold, the route to Damascus. And that lay through the north of Israel, north of Palestine, through something called Masmas Pass, which is just a little bit to the east of Megiddo, the actual Tel Megiddo, the ancient Megiddo city. And so from that, Allenby chose to call this whole combination of battles the Battle of Megiddo. And the Battle of Square Hill actually took place closer to Nablus, or Shechem, as we know it. So they had to win that battle. It was a hill, a very strategic hill holding the access to a whole area northwards, held by the Turks. It was a strong point. And the Cape Corps was given the job of dislodging them. And they did this in an overnight operation, going up the mouth side of the hill. And amazingly enough, they totally overwhelmed the Turks, who fled. And The Cape Corps never lost a man in this battle.
Is that so?
Not one was lost, and they achieved every objective. Mm. And the Turks then established themselves on, as you said, KH Jebait, a hill a little bit further away. And they established a new strong point there. And the Cape Corps were ordered to take that hill. There was no intelligence, there was no preparation, there was no planning, and no time. Mm. And they went into this almost blind.
Were they well trained, Peter?
I beg your pardon?
Were they well trained?
They were well trained. They'd fought right through East Africa, and they'd won 4 or 5 battle honours there. So they were well trained, and they were excellent soldiers. And then they had to take KH Jebait, and the only way they could do it was a frontal assault up the side of the hill with Turkish machine guns above them. And the machine gun fire was spraying down on them as they were advancing. All their officers were killed, and it was left to two coloured sergeants, to take command of this whole thing. Mm. And they were then 51 members of the Cape Corps, including officers, were killed. And they were then given orders to retreat. And Allenby said at the time that when an army or a battalion is ordered to retreat, the way in which they retreat actually tells the story of their training, of their discipline. And the way in which they were retreated was absolutely exemplary, under order, in an orderly fashion, and expertly done under the control of two coloured sergeants. They were both obviously decorated for bravery.
Good heavens.
So, and then, of course, the 51 that were killed are all buried in the Jerusalem War Cemetery, the Commonwealth War Cemetery in Jerusalem. Hmm. And interestingly enough, in the cemetery, there's a sign that says 3 Cape Corps men died and their burial place is not known. So they are unknown graves. But I've since discovered that 3 Cape Corps chaps died of influenza or malaria and were buried in the Gaza War Cemetery.
Oh. Hmm.
So that information...
That Gaza War Cemetery... that has been looked after by a Gazan for all these years.
Absolutely. And I'm quite anxious to know what the condition of that cemetery is now.
I sincerely hope when you do find out that you'll let us know that it has not been flattened.
Well, unfortunately, in previous wars with Hamas, damage was inflicted, and Israel took full responsibility and repaired and paid for the repairs to the cemetery after each of the wars. But I think this time has been far more devastating, unfortunately.
It has been. And Peter, just tell me, so you're wanting to erect a memorial in Israel. There has been one in South Africa, and I see that the South African ambassador, Ila Belotsikovsky.
Belotsikovsky, yeah. Well, it's not a memorial, it's just a plaque, actually, at West Park Cemetery.
Okay. And I see it says, in honour of 644 Black Southern Africans who went down with the 140 Yishuv Jews, that was during, on the sea, on the SS Erempura. But, so was that also for the South African Cape Corps?
No, the SS Erempura is a separate plaque. There's 2 plaques. One is the Cape Corps one that tells the story of the Battle of Square Hill. Right. And the other one is the SS Erempura, which tells the story of the sinking of the ship. The black chaps on the Erempura were engaged in building the railway line from Haifa to Beirut.
Is that so? And I see that there were 140 Jewish volunteers on that, 644 members of the African Zulu Pioneer Corps, made up mainly of Tswana, Swazi, and Sotho volunteers from South Africa.
That's right.
You know, we don't know any of this history, do we? No. So thank
Well, some of us don't.
Thank goodness you did.
Now, what's interesting is the 140 Jewish volunteers were actually Palestinian Jews. In those days, people born in Palestine were called Jews, or Jews who lived in Palestine were Palestinians.
Right. So
the new iteration of Palestinians is something that is a very, very different animal. Now, a lot of them volunteered to serve with the British Army. But as with the people of color in South Africa, the British Army did not allow them to bear arms because they were Jews and they couldn't be trusted.
Good.
So they worked as drivers. They were, I think it was the 636 Transport Company, and their job was to move the black laborers from place to place. And so they were on the Irampura on their way to Malta, where the black laborers were going to build gun emplacements for the British.
And the Jews were going to drive the officers.
And the Jews were going to drive them around to provide the transport, yes.
Good heavens, isn't that?
So it's two things, and my sort of total interest in this was because of the connection it creates between Israel and South Africa. Mm. And not just Israel and South Africa, but Israel and black South Africa, which to me is so very important.
And I know that the various groups that have come to Israel have been shown the war memorials and been taken around. Tell me a bit about that.
Well, I had the honor and the pleasure of suggesting to the South African Israel Chamber of Commerce and the South African Friends of Israel that the last visiting group that was here, comprised of members of the PA, I think probably 90% coloreds, that we actually take them to the war cemetery and tell them about this history and show them where their forebears lie in Israel.
What is the reaction from them?
The reaction was emotion to a degree that you cannot believe.
Aww.
It was absolutely, especially the women that were in the party, they were absolutely stunned to discover that their forebearers actually fought and carried out heroic deeds here.
Good heavens. Now, you are very interested and involved in doing a memorial which is going to be erected in Israel. Where is it going to be, and why are you going to be doing this?
Well, the Australians and the New Zealanders that fought here have got memorials in Beersheba. There's a big memorial in Jerusalem. There's a memorial in Gaza. The Indians, I found something strange the other day. The Indian Gurkha Regiment fought in Ranana. Where Ranana
is today. Where we're talking from. Where you're talking
and
from.
Right next door to me. And they recently put up a plaque commemorating the battle there. And I actually discovered that 82 Indian Jews were part of this Indian army that fought there.
Oh, gosh, interesting.
I found that very, very interesting, the Jewish connection all over. But to the Cape Corps, there's absolutely nothing in Israel. And I decided to make it my business to do what I can to get a memorial erected. Even in South Africa, there's not much to them. The Pretoria City Council was going to, or the Chwane, I think it's called, were going to do a memorial to them. And I saw plans. And then, of course, with all the upheavals and the I think it was a DA council at that stage, they were kicked out and other parties took over, and it was all shelved.
Good heavens, is that what a bit. So you've decided that's not.
So I've decided, yeah. And then I also found another connection. In Megiddo, there's a large tract of land that was purchased with money that was bequeathed by Isaac Ochberg, who's famous for the Ochberg orphans.
That were brought to South Africa.
Yes. Yes. And there's an Ochberg memorial in Megiddo on some of the land that was used with his money. He also provided the funding for something called the Yohan Coral Group in District 6 in 1934. Mm. And their first base was the Isaac Ochberg building in District 6 in Hanover Street.
In Cape Town?
In Cape Town.
Good heavens.
So where we intend putting this memorial is adjacent to the Ochberg Memorial in Megiddo. And it fits very well because the Battle of Square Hill, KHG Abate, formed part of the Greater Battle of Megiddo. So
that's very interesting. And how far have you got with that?
Well, at the moment, plans are being drawn up. There's an architect, an ex-Capetonian who now lives in the States, but he's busy doing plans. We've approved the first sort of ideas that he's had. It's going to be a different sort of memorial. I don't want to talk about it yet, but it's going to be very, very special.
And you'll obviously be inviting South Africans to come.
Absolutely. Up. Well, every one of Every one of the party that was at the Jerusalem War Cemetery said, when you have the memorial, we will be here.
And are there, did you contact any of the living relatives of that company?
Well, I'm in contact with, you might recall Vasco da Gama, who was the Speaker of the Joburg Council. Mm. His grandfather fought at the Battle of Square Hill. And then there's Adil Karel Sadi. Adil's been on your show, I think.
No, he hasn't, but he has been on Howard's, I think.
So Adil's grandfather fought there as well. And he's given me a lot of support and encouragement. And then, interestingly enough, in Cape Town, there's a school by the name of the Square Hill School.
Huh.
And Dave Kaplan was in Cape Town, and he went to the school to visit the principal. And he said to him, do you know why this is called the Square Hill School? And he said, no, he's got no idea. And Dave then gave them a lecture, and the pupils were given a talk about why it is called the Square Hill School. And he then started looking up names of people who'd served in the Cape Corps and phoning those same names from the Cape Town phone directory.
Yes.
And he came across two or three families and said, yes, that was my grandfather, that was my great uncle. And these people were so excited and absolutely overwhelmed with emotion.
I'm sure after so long to have recognition like that, how amazing. We're going to get back to that shortly. If you have a small business, think about this. Imagine you ran an amazing special offer, and imagine Chai FM told 125,000 people about it. Imagine we also posted your special offer on our social media platforms and listed you on our website. And imagine you could do all of that on a month-to-month basis. What would that be worth to you? Chai FM has a special stimulus package for small businesses, and you should get in touch to find out more. You can email us on info@chaifm.com, or you can send a text to +27 61 895 1019, and we'll call you. 101.9 Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of building community businesses. That's quite a nice offer, and I hope people will take up in it. Up on it. We're going to be listening to a short YouTube now. This is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program, and I'm back with Peter Bailey in Israel, and we are going to be listening to a short YouTube audio clip called Visit to Israel, Friends of Zion.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Hello, this is Sue, and I'm back with Peter Bailey. And you've just listened to a very short audio clip on a group that went to South African MPs, pastors, rabbis, and Israeli leaders who all gathered in Jerusalem And they were all there in April 7th, 2025. You actually met up with this group, Peter.
Sorry, I met up with a second group, not parliamentarians. It was only a delegation from the PA.
Okay. And where did you take them? Did you take them to various memorial sites?
I was only involved with the Jerusalem War Cemetery. Okay. They were taken to various sites in Jerusalem, to religious sites. I know they visited the Kotel and those various other places. And they also went south to see the devastation that had been wrought by Hamas.
Oh, they did. Now, yes. Why do you think it's so important to have memorials? I mean, there's that National Memorial Hall, which is for fallen soldiers at Mount Herzl. Why do you feel that it's so important? What do you feel that memorials and museums bring?
See, you know, remembering is the whole essence of Judaism. We remember all the things that happened in the past. That memory is what sustained the Jewish people for 2,000 years in diaspora. Memory of the patriarchs, memory of the Exodus, memory of the fights before we occupied the land that Hashem had promised the Jewish people. Everything is all about memory of the temples that had fallen. So memorializing our fallen soldiers and life is so valuable to the Jewish people. You know, as it is said, to save a life is to save a world. So when one person dies, it's a whole world dying. And each one of those people has to be remembered. Now, from a memorial perspective in Israel, we got two very important memorial days, Yom HaShoah, which remembers the Shoah, and 6 days later, in commemoration of the 6 million, we have Yom HaZikaron, the Day of Remembrance for the Fallen Soldiers. And as Yom HaZikaron ends, so we transfer into Yom HaAtzmaut, Independence Day. So the symbolism there is quite amazing. The dates depend, of course, on Yom HaAtzmaut, the date that Ben-Gurion had to declare independence. And we couldn't have independence, we couldn't have our state until the soldiers had fought and won, and those that had fallen fell winning that victory to establish the state. And 6 million people died in the Holocaust, 6 million Jews. So 6 days before Yom HaZikaron is Yom HaShoah.
Which is the memorial
for the Holocaust. So you have the memorial for the Holocaust, 6 days in memory of each one of the 6 million, Yom HaZikaron and then Yom HaAtzmaut. Now the memorial hall has got the names of each and every Israeli soldier that has fallen since actually before the State of Israel. Mm. There's around 25,000 names there. But what is unique about this is that every name has got a little light. A lot of shuls have got yahrzeit boards with lights. And on the yahrzeit of that person, a light comes on. And every morning at 11 o'clock, somebody says Kaddish in the memorial hall for all those that fell on that day. So every Israeli soldier that fell in battle has Kaddish said for him every single year.
Wow, isn't that amazing? You know, a few people that I've spoken to in Israel have said that this year in particular, it's been very hard to go from Yom HaShoah to Yom HaZikaron. That, you know, it was difficult, especially as all the hostages, so many of them are still being held, and so many of the IDF have been killed, that it has been very difficult. What I found incredibly moving is on, just hang on a sec. I've been asked to just read this out, but please note that between 1300 and 1400 today, we will be off air as we carry out essential transmission repairs. We are aware of ongoing issues affecting our transmitters and apologize for the disruption. Our technical operations team is actively working to resolve the problem. Unfortunately, this isn't a quick fix and restoration may take time. We appreciate your patience and understanding while we work to restore full service. Thank you for bearing with us. When I was listening to Howard's program earlier, there were quite a few breaks that we couldn't hear. So I'm hoping it's not happening with us, Peter. We're just going to ad break.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson, and I'm back with Peter Bailey. Peter has been discussing the Cape Core and the battles of Square Hill and Kebet Jebet. Byet, I think you probably pronounce it. We've also been talking about the importance of memorials and museums. You know, Peter, tell me a bit about the Friends of Zion Museum.
See, the Friends of Zion is really, it was designed and built in order to celebrate the work done by Christian Zionists. I visited the museum. I don't know a lot about it. I have visited it. And the one thing that I found noteworthy when I visited it was that Jan Smuts did not appear in that museum. And when I got back, I immediately contacted the museum and I actually prepared a piece for them, which is now on display at the museum, so that Jan Smuts is also celebrated.
Oh, is that so?
It's a very important element. It's essentially, American Christian evangelism and Christian Zionism is very strong. And it's essentially an American initiative, really.
Okay, so Craig, you have another a short audio clip, but we haven't got time for that, which was going to be on the about the Zion, Friends of Zion. But Peter, you know, I think it's very necessary in today, what's happening in Israel today, and the anti-Semitism that has grown around the world and is very disturbing, especially here in South Africa, but also elsewhere. Hillel Fuld was not allowed into Australia today. And, you know, I think it's very necessary for us to remember the people who have fought for South Africa, who fought, who were very involved in actually allowing the Balfour Declaration to come into place and allowing Israel, to the Jews, to have their homeland. Am I right there?
Absolutely, Sue. Well, the battles of the First World War in Palestine and the Battle of Square Hill allowed the commanding general, Yair Allenby, to publicize the Balfour Declaration in Palestine once the battle had been won. So yes, the significance of the establishment of Israel is huge in the part played by the Cape Corps and of course the other regiments that fought.
Well, you know, what I would like to know from you, just as an Israeli that you are now, I see that there are over 43,000 people who have made Aliyah to Israel since October the 7th. And with a third of them are young people, 18 and 35, and they come from dozens of different countries, which is, I think, absolutely amazing. The other thing is, Israel is ranked high on the happiness list. Why do you think that is? You, at your age, with your friends, having made Aliyah, what is it that keeps you in Israel, apart from family?
Sue, it's a difficult question, that. But from the moment I got off the Aliyah plane, I was at home.
So as you landed, you felt you were
at home. I landed, I found that I was at home.
And Jeannie, did she feel the same?
Very much the same way. Of course, as a granny, being with her grandchildren is the ultimate. She was running up and down to visit in Israel. And since we're here, it's absolutely amazing. But I think identifying with the Jewish people, and my life changed when I arrived in Israel. I went in a completely different direction, but allied to what I had been doing previously. But I became involved in Israeli history as it pertains to South Africa. But in many, many, many other aspects, one of the things of which I'm proud is having served on the Israel Committee for the celebration of the Balfour Declaration in 1917.
Well, keep up the goodies, Peter. We're going to have to get back, as always. I'm being told to wrap up. But okay. I want to just say that I've really enjoyed speaking to you today. So necessary to hear the other side of what's happening in Israel, memorials, museums, what life is going on. And Rosa Parks said, she said, stand for something or you will fall for anything. Today's mighty oak is yesterday's nut that held its ground. So let's all grow into mighty oaks and stand for something that we believe in. Thank you. Please give my best to Jeannie and to the Plotniks. Tell them I say hello. And I will be in contact with you, and we will definitely be doing another program. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you.
And thank you, Vusi.